Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Guys, we are broadcasting through some new equipment.
New mics, who dis?
Does it sound sexier than usual?
It sounds better to me.
It sounds better headphones. To me, too.
Like, well, you sound amazing. I sound incredible.
Hot. Well, guys, let us know what you think, because we think we sound great.
Okay, so we need to talk about The Real Housewives of Potomac season 4 finale.
Oh, don't leave me, Potomac.
And a look at the reunion.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was epic.
It's going to be insane.
And then we need to talk about Real Housewives of Orange County,
mm-hmm.
plus Real Housewives of Dallas.
Yep.
And you talked to Stephanie Holman, and I interviewed Carrie Brittingham,
mm-hmm.
both from Dallas.
Oh, I'm so glad Dallas is back.
Samesies.
Real Housewives of Potomac, season finale, another season down, but it did not disappoint.
No, it was pretty good. a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley's pregnant.
Yep.
You know, though, I will say she is the reason I think people shouldn't go overboard with the announcing of pregnancies in elaborate ways.
Yes.
Like, I think it's cute, some of those videos that you'll see of, like, you know, people finding out. But the whole putting the stickers on her stomach, we just, like, that did not go over well.
I was a little confused by that whole plan because I thought, why not just, like, show your mother the sonogram? Why did she have to then go pee on a stick after the stickers fell off and show her the pee stick?
It was all weird. And also, make her go through a yoga class to get this information?
Right. And, like, didn't she know the stickers were going to fall off during that? I mean, she was, like, twisting and moving and bending. Like,
sweating.
Those stickers are not going to stay on.
Yeah.
It's a really cute thought. But maybe she should have, like, written on it with some, like, you know, non-toxic marker.
Or just be like, hey, Mom, pregnant.
Right. By the way. Here's the sonogram. Or she could have hidden the sonogram in her, like, in her pants and then, like, pulled up her shirt and been like, look, Mom. And it's like the baby was in there.
Just hide it in her crotch through the yoga class?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, speaking of pregnancy, too, I felt really bad for Monique through this episode because she is, like, 38 weeks pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend, Samantha, who is about 7 days overdue right now. And my cousin, Caitlin, who is also about a week overdue. And I remember FaceTiming with my cousin, Caitlin, at Easter, so in April, and she was enormous. So I know that at this point, she is probably on her back waiting for that baby to come out.
Just so uncomfortable, yeah. Probably.
And this is my cousin Caitlin's third child, which for Monique, it's her also third.
Yeah, this right? baby, the third, I think, just walks out.
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, when they're ready, apparently. And this baby seems to not be ready at all. So,
like, I'm comfy.
Yeah, and my friend Sam also, I went to her baby shower in D.C. a few months back, and she is just, like, patiently waiting. She left work a couple weeks ago, and she's just like, I don't know what to do. So, Monique, my friends feel you.
Mm.
But we did get a little catch-up at the end of the episode where we saw the new baby.
Oh, right. Okay, you just reminded me of what my thorn was because I forgot to write it down. But we'll get to it.
Okay.
Stick around.
I'm worried now. I love Monique. Love you, Robin. But should she be giving Giselle advice on, like, house flipping? Because Robin, it took her, what, 4 to 5 or, like, 8 months to finish her house?
Right. And the profit was $36,000?
Yeah.
And so I assume that she's splitting that with her mother.
Probably.
So.
Or does that just go towards the next investment? Is that how house flipping works?
I don't know. But either way, you're not taking home anything for all that work.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think house flipping is in my future.
No.
No. I mean, you know, to be fair, Robin did point out, Giselle, you probably do need to replace these windows because there's a crack in that one. And Giselle's like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Whatever. When Robin and Giselle are talking at the house, they mention that Katie texted them and thought it was so weird that she just randomly sent a text.
Oh, my God. Did you get a random text from Katie?
Of course.
So then I wrote her back, feeling better, ?
Yeah.
She wrote, yes, much better. How was the rest of the trip for you all?
Katie. Come on.
But if everyone's so concerned about Katie, why not give her a call?
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh my God, she texted me. It's so weird, right? Yeah, it's so weird. Well,
I know,
a ring.
But it was also like, but what was weird about it? Like, was she rambling in the text or there just wasn't much of an explanation?
I think what they were saying was that there wasn't any explanation as to why she left. It wasn't like a, hey.
So sorry.
So sorry. Here's what happened. What are your thoughts on the matching tattoo that she and Juan did?
I am pro, like, finger tattoos in lieu of rings.
Oh, me too. I was so curious to know your perspective as a married person.
Yeah, like as long as it's cute, you know.
And I thought it was cute.
I thought it was cute. But I did think it was funny that Giselle shaded it and was like, you can't even tell unless you're like looking, which right. is true.
It's very true.
Okay, yes. The tattoo is on the ring finger. Love that. However, it's on the inside of the finger. So you can't really see it unless you know it's there. If you really are committed to Robin, put a ring on it.
But here's the thing. I don't think a visible ring changes anything.
Exactly. And this is one step, to me, this is one step for Robin and Juan to take, hopefully leading them back to marriage. But like, let them go on their own journey. You know, they're showing their commitment. They're doing it. I love that they brought their kids. And whatever, you know, I mean, let them do it in their own time.
I also don't care if they get married again.
I would like it just to be a storyline on next season or something, because okay. I love a wedding storyline.
Right.
Candace had it, you know, yeah. Robin deserves yeah. it again.
I just think a tattoo is pretty permanent also.
Right. Would you and Aaron ever get matching tattoos?
I'd be down. I don't know if he would.
Really?
Because, you know, like the curse thing.
Right.
Like every time couples do it, they get
yeah.
broken up. Look at Tamara and Simon from OC.
True.
But I have been married. I am married. I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Right. That's how a lot of people feel, I think.
Yeah, just get the tattoos and live happily ever after.
If you guys were to get a tattoo, I can imagine it being very similar to Robin and Juan's situation where you would like go through it and be like, that wasn't so bad. And then Aaron would be like, oh my God. Oh, wait a break. I need a break.
That was amazing how, like,
men like can't tolerate pain the same way women
crazy.
Can. It's very, very true.
Yo, hold up. That shit hurts.
It doesn't die.
Oh my God.
It's all right. Stay. Keep breathing. You're not.
That was painful.
Can we talk about the reunion super tease?
Yes, please.
Okay, because we get Dorothy. And a reenactment of the purse incident.
She brings the actual bag.
The actual bag and says, her face hit my bag.
It's very, it reminds me of Chicago in Cell Block Tango when she's like, he ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times. It's like, no, that's a stab. You stabbed him, okay? That's why you're in jail. So it's the same principle to me with Miss Dorothy where she's like, well, she ran into my bag. No, you hit her.
Oh, yeah. The reunion looks amazing.
Right. Who do you think is best dressed?
So Monique, I thought looked great.
Yeah.
And I also liked Candace's dramatic feather sleeve.
Candace loves shoulder sleeve action.
Yeah.
In the after show, she had that big poofy thing that didn't get a lot of...
Loves a shoulder embellishment.
Loves a shoulder embellishment. But it's also like, is she left-handed? Because I'm right-handed. And if I were to do a shoulder embellishment, it would have to be on this side. But she always does the other side.
Mm.
Candace, let us know.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up on Potomac, we have to admit, Karen came through... with a bottle of fragrance and kind of distribution at a pop-up.
Okay, so one bottle that no one was allowed to touch.
That cannot be touched.
I think there was a fragrance, yeah, because people were spritzing and spraying, you know.
It's not for the youthful, perhaps.
Right, says Ashley and Giselle.
Yeah.
And she... You know, distribution TBD.
Right. A pop-up is where it all begins, though.
But she didn't say that. We know that from internet sleuthing.
No, she did say that because she said...
Oh, wait, it was at the end.
Yes. Well, and she said at the party, and LaDame will be popping up in a retail store soon.
Oh.
And they were all like, retail store? Which retail store? I mean, maybe at that point she didn't have anything secured in terms of retail. But you know, Karen, this is how she is. She keeps everything close to the chest until it's ready to be announced. And then also, when the finale aired, I don't know if you saw, but she posted on Instagram that her website crashed from so much traffic to it.
Oh.
So.
Just like Kim Kardashian's skims.com.
Exactly.
Just went through the same thing this morning.
There was such a high demand for LaDame as
on
there
Kim
is.
On Kim K level.
Right. I mean, there you go.
Well, in a past interview with Karen, she told me that LaDame was going to be in a FabFitFun box.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned for that.
Mm.
Final thought. I was very upset that Macy Gray was not invited to the LaDame party.
God, you love a Macy Gray cameo.
Aunt Macy. I got the chance to speak with Real Housewives of Dallas's Stephanie Holman, and she revealed her husband's most recent midlife crisis purchases, what it was like for her, talking about her struggles with depression and how opening up made her actually closer with Leanne Locken. Plus, she reflects on how she changed over the past couple of seasons. Let's take a listen. Guys, we are here with Stephanie Holman from Real Housewives of Dallas. Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here.
I know, new season. How does it feel?
You know, every year it gets a little easier. And I think it's just because you know what to expect. Like, I know some people are going to love me. I know some people are going to hate me. So
who's going to hate you?
You never know. Like, there's always somebody who's just like... hates you for, you know, just even like really dumb reasons. So I'm like, it's fine.
Of course.
Yeah, you just focus on the love.
Right.
Yeah.
So in the very first episode, Travis talks a bit about kind of having this midlife crisis.
Uh-huh.
So he's done some like skydiving. Has he made any like wild purchases?
You have no idea.
Like
He went out and custom bought this Ferrari for himself. And we flew to Italy to have it custom made. It was ridiculous. Our entire family vacation was about this stupid car. And then,
tell us how you really feel about it.
It's like the dumbest purchase. And then also, we had been drinking one night on a trip. And he was like, what do you think about this car? I'm like, oh, it's nice. He was like, good, I just bought it. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, I
so
would
this is
never...
another car.
Oh, yeah. He's bought two cars in the past, like, year and a half.
Oh, my God.
So
do you get to drive them?
Well, okay, so I have been in a lot of accidents to the fact where my insurance dropped me and then I had to, we're paying a fortune for it. So whenever he gets like all of his cars, because he collects cars, I actually have to sign something through our insurance agent saying that I am not allowed to drive the cars.
No way.
So anybody but me, because I've been in that many accidents. So horrifying, yes.
Well, I mean, he's done all these purchases, but he mentions also in that episode that he brought his company from $6.8 million in sales in a year to $75 million.
Uh-huh. So
that's
that
incredible.
Is within the 6 years since he's taken over.
That is wild.
So it's crazy, but he's growing like... the business is growing like crazy. So I'm really proud of him. So he does deserve to spend his money. But
yeah.
Like, we don't have any more room in our garage. So, you know, I have like one car.
Well, you're going to need a bigger house then.
We are definitely. Yes.
Are you going to be doing any more celebrations of marriage? I know you guys did like a vow renewal. Any other plans for something like that?
Probably not another vow renewal. I feel like our only celebration of marriage will be like going to therapy.
Sounds like there's some things maybe.
Yeah,
that,
like
you know.
We always try to do like something like once a year, even if it's like a couples retreat or something to kind of reconnect because... like recently we've been going on walks every night. So we'll go like on a 4 mile, you know, sweaty, really romantic walks where we just talk about our day. But I don't know. I always feel like I'm a big proponent in marriage therapy because I think it's hard. It's easy sometimes to just have marriage be all about the children and all about work and not about talking about the issues that really bother him and I. So yes.
That's next.
Yeah, therapy is our new vow renewal. Yes.
Absolutely. So you crushed it at Deandra's roast.
Oh, thank you.
Do you remember any of the jokes that you said?
I know my very last one was about Jeremy. It was like about, you know, staying at home, doing your nails, da 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 da. And then I said, I'm talking to you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
I don't remember all the other ones. Brandy had hers memorized.
Yeah.
So I was a little nervous. I just wrote some things that I thought were, you know, I thought were entertaining to me. But I don't really remember a lot of what I said. I just read it off a piece of paper.
Well, you were like the only one who actually, I think, roasted her.
Thank you.
I mean, Brandy did a good job too, but I think you were the one who like delivered the punchlines.
Well, thank you.
And then everyone else goes up there and like, I've known Deandra for 10 years. And it's like, that's not a roast. Come on.
No, like I was like, what makes Deandra ridiculous? You know, like obviously she's always talking about her finances. She's always talking about, you know, like Jeremy staying at home. So I tried to just make fun of everything that I felt like was funny about her.
Right. And I think you did it.
Thank you.
If you could roast anyone else on the cast, who would it be?
Not Leanne, because she'd kill me.
That's a trick.
I don't know. Cameron. I don't know. I mean, I would say Cameron, but we don't have like, we don't always see eye to eye. So I feel like I would just create yet another fight in my life. Brittingham's pretty fun. I think I could poke fun at her.
Yep. I think you could do Brandy.
Brandy, I could definitely, like, Brandy's ridiculous. So I could definitely, I feel like Brittingham and Brandy I could do and still have, like, a really strong friendship at the end of the day.
Right. Well, maybe on your podcast with Brandy you can do,
we
like,
should
a
do
roast session.
Yes. Right? Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be like, this is a deal. I was in this podcast, and yeah.
Well, switching gears a little bit, you've been very open with your journey with depression and all of that. Have you received a lot of feedback from fans who have been really responsive to your openness?
Yes, I would say whenever it came out, you know, whenever you're living your life and you don't really realize it's going to be on TV until, like, you know, the episode's over, and then they're like, coming up, you know, they do those little teasers on bravotv.com, and I'm like, and it was this one of my mom and I sitting on the bed, and I don't even know why, but it hit me like a ton of bricks, because I was just like, shit, there's no going back. And I felt like people would really judge me, and I was very humiliated, I'm not gonna lie. But then whenever it was out there, people were so kind. And I think my whole life I've always felt very alone in the things I struggled with, like because it's you. You know, I get super depressed when I drink. So I always felt like I was trying to fit in, and I was very, and people didn't understand me. Even Travis doesn't deal with depression. So even talking to him, he's like, you know, like looks at me like I'm crazy, because I don't really have things that I'm not struggling with a job. I'm not, you know, like we can pay our bills. He's like, we have amazing children. But it was so refreshing, and I've never felt so connected to a group of people in my life that I'd never met, because so many people wrote me saying that they had, you know, they struggle as well. And they were like, I had one lady who wrote me the day the episode aired, and she had 3 kids, and her husband had left her for another woman. And she said, this is very deep for a podcast, I'm sorry.
No,
she
I
said
love
that
it.
She, that night she had written her suicide note, and she was going to end her life because she felt like it was never going to get better. And then she said she watched the episode and realized that things do get better in life. So wow. I was like, you know what? You know, out of everything I've done in life, you know, doing Housewives, who knew that it would actually like help somebody else? And it was probably the most, you know, amazing thing that's ever happened to me since I've been on the show, just right. to share a journey with somebody that's so intimate and deep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, being so candid about it, as difficult as it might have been for you to express that and then rewatch it again and have to see that, I feel like the impact it has on the audience is huge. And just knowing something like that, I mean, at the end of the day, I think being that open about it is so important, and releasing that kind of stigma that exists around mental health and depression and all of that. Yeah. So that's amazing.
No. And that's the thing I love, because I never talked about it because I felt a little crazy, and I did feel, and there is a stigma associated with it. And I'm in the mental health field before I met my husband. So I was always like, okay, you cannot be in the mental health and deal with mental health. Like, you know, it doesn't really go hand in hand. But it was the most freeing thing I've ever done in my life, because it also, for the show, I always felt like I had to put a wall up with the audience, because I felt like whenever you show the cracks, then you get a lot of hate because people are like, you're crazy, or I didn't think they would understand me. Mm-hmm. And then I realized after 2 years doing the show that like it actually connects you with the audience, and it makes the experience real and not so superficial, because before I felt like I was trying to hide anything bad in my life. Like I would try to pretend like I kind of had it all together, you know?
Right. In addition to connecting to the audience, did it bring you closer to any of your cast members, like Leanne, for example?
Like, I would say Leanne and I have a very different relationship now. Mm-hmm. I feel like we see each other. Like, I understand who she is. I think we have this, something that we both struggle with and deal with. So, you know, we can talk in a way that's therapeutic for both of us. I mean, Brandy, I've always kind of talked to her about, you know, everything. But with most, I would say with all the girls, they were so supportive and kind. And like, it's, I think they kind of figured out who I was a little bit, because I am probably the most guarded on our show. I'm quiet. I just kind of step back and observe people and see if I just, because I don't deal with hurt and rejection very well. So I always make sure, like, I'm like, okay, are they safe? Yeah. And I don't want to be like that, because I feel like when you have walls up, you can never really fully connect. It takes me a long time.
Right. Well, let's talk about some of your other friendships with the other cast members. So obviously we know Brandy. You guys have a podcast together. You guys have been best friends forever.
Yeah.
I was heartbroken when you guys had that tiff.
And
And then when you guys got together and you were just both crying, like, I don't want to fight anymore. I was like, oh, this is so beautiful.
Oh my gosh. It was like, that was, you know, looking back, I'm glad it happened, because I feel like it made both of us kind of deal with things very differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like whenever we, you know, instead of not talking, just say what's on our mind and have like an honest conversation, even though our problems seem really dumb at them, because then they just, you know, get compiling on top of another.
Snowball
into. But that was by, and I think that's another reason why the seasons get easier, because I'm like, I will never have anything as bad as season two. Like, that was hell to film, and it was absolute hell to live through.
Yeah. What about like Cameron? Where do you guys stand?
I'm going to see her. She's actually going to be in New York for Fashion Week. So I am going to see her. We communicate very differently. And I've always felt very judged by Cameron. I've always felt like everything I do is like she magnifies it into like I killed somebody, you know, and right. It's like something so trivial and silly. So for me, I feel like I always feel very frustrated and very judged by her. And maybe it's some of my insecurities as well. Like, I don't know. I'm sure it is a lot of it. Like, I've, but she does bring out this side of me that with issues that I dealt with, like not feeling like I'm good enough, feeling like, you know, because I was raised in a really small poor town. I was not a rich girl growing up.
And yeah.
Even living in Dallas sometimes and going to events and being, you know, my husband having money, I never really feel like I fit in a lot. So
right.
I don't know. So maybe that's part of it too. But I hate fighting with her. And I feel like in the past, I've always just been like, I'm sorry, because it's a torture fighting with her, because it kind of goes around in circles and you never get off. But this year I was like, I have to tell her how I feel, because I was becoming very resentful.
Yeah.
Well,
you're here today with the new housewife, Perry. So tell the listeners a little bit about her, because you know her better than we do right now.
Yeah. You know what? I love her. I think the audience is going to love her. She's a spitfire. I love people who don't take themselves seriously, and she doesn't. She kind of reminds me of Brandy in that sense. But she's extremely loyal, been an amazing friend. She's funny. She's feisty. And sometimes she says things, and I cannot believe she said it, which I appreciate. But she's just like, I think she's going to fit in amazingly.
We get a sneak peek at that massive house she has.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that house?
You know, I've only been on the outside of it. I've never been inside her house, but it's beautiful. But yeah, I've never... she needs to invite me over.
It's wild.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. I've seen it like on the show, and then I picked her up before and dropped her off after.
You also have a nonprofit that you run with your husband. How is that going?
We have right now, I think, close to 170 people in college, between like we pay for our employees, their spouses, and their children. And I think we're going to start paying for grandchildren as well. But it's been amazing, and it's been a great way for people just to be excited about where they work. I think it's something that kind of brought our company together.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever we were looking at it, Travis was like, yeah, you know, younger people want to go to school, but what about these older people that are factory workers who've been sanding away for, you know, 20 years, what would they want? And for me as a mother and for him as a father, all you want in life is for your children to do better than you and to have experiences and opportunities that you would not be able to have. And it's sometimes hard for somebody who doesn't make a lot of money to afford those experiences for their families. So it's been incredible.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Do you think, looking back at the last couple of seasons, how do you think you've changed?
Oh my gosh. The first two seasons, I was terrified. The first season, I cried every day I filmed because I felt like I was going to just like ruin my life. The second season was really hard. I feel like I didn't deal with my friendship with Brandy very well. But you know what? It was such a blessing because after the second season, I felt like I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I'm not going to lie. and I sought therapy and I went to a place to kind of help me figure out my life and just become a healthier person. And I feel like this show, I may be one of the only housewives to say this, but I feel like this show has literally changed my life for the better because I am probably for the first time in my life, I'm fine with who I am. You know, whenever I make mistakes, it's not the end of the world. It just means I'm human. And I've never felt like that. I always felt like I was letting people down on a, you know, if I wasn't doing the right thing all the time. So it's very freeing. So for me, I feel like it's helped me learn who I am, which is really sad because I'm almost 40, but it's
well, you're always learning no matter what, yeah. Right? I feel like it must be so different too to be able to experience something and then watch it back.
Yeah.
And then you learn while you're filming and then you learn after the fact as well because you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that or maybe I shouldn't have done this.
But for me, I feel like I always held back. So every time I was always like, I should have gone with my guts. And this year I went with my gut more. And I don't know if it's the right thing to do. So, you know, you always learn. I'm like, well, maybe you should go back to your old ways.
You're just always learning and figuring it out, you know. So what do we have to look forward to this season? What are you most excited about?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I don't ever get to see the personal stories of all the other women. So for me, I always really look forward to seeing what is going on behind closed doors with them because it's something that a journey that I don't get to take with them.
Yeah.
And then I love anytime Brandy and I get a film, it's always my favorite. What else? You know, family stuff. What I love about this show is I literally have a video series of my children growing up. And that is something that money cannot buy because it's just really incredible to go by and watch like season one to now and how big they are and how small and cute they were back then.
Right.
So
are they not so small and cute anymore?
They're
you're
sassy
like, they're still
now.
Cute.
They're cute, but sassy. They're not as innocent. But no, for me, I don't know. I don't like seeing the fighting stuff because then it's a bad night on Twitter for me. But regardless of that, I do enjoy the journey and I appreciate, I think also for me, I think you have to be very appreciative when you're in this position because I've never been, it's not like I was an actress. It's like, it's a big blessing and, you know, a big gift. And I feel like you have to be very appreciative of that blessing.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thank you.
That was fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
Yes.
We're so excited about the new season.
Thank you.
Real Housewives of Orange County. I want to talk about Spencer.
Mm.
Because he is so mature and perceptive for his age.
I love him. Well, first of all, it's because he has the mental age of 45.
Exactly.
You're like a 90-year-old man.
Actually, my mental age is 45.
What?
Yeah, it was like dumb test I took in AP psychology.
Which I want to know what online quiz he took to get that because I'm very curious about what my mental age is because it's either like 45 or it's 17. Like, I'm not sure which one.
Mm.
But I would like to take it. But just the way he was speaking to Tamara and how eloquently he was explaining things and sort of the psychology behind why he thinks that his brother was acting that way, I was just like, oh my God. Like, you are the generation that will save us. Thank you, Spencer.
Spencer gets it. I also just found it tickled me how Eddie burst out laughing when he clarified half brothers.
Right. I mean, you know, it's a technicality, but gotta say it. Gotta call it out.
Well, the bottom line is you guys are brothers.
Half brothers, yeah.
Minor detail.
What did you think about Kelly and the family issues?
I had no idea.
Me neither.
Until I saw this episode. That makes me really sad because, I mean, we saw how close she and her mom were. And her brother we didn't see as much, but the fact that they lived together, I mean, that kind of said a lot to me.
Right.
So the fact that it's been 2 years and they haven't talked is crazy.
I know. Well, especially knowing Jolie as a granddaughter and just not being able to have that relationship because of this tension between Kelly and her mom, it's really sad.
Yeah.
I will say that actually just today, Kelly posted a picture on Instagram of her mom and said, thank you so much for watching Jolie, like, love you.
Oh.
So it seems maybe since this, and maybe we'll see it this season, they've worked out whatever their issues are and hopefully are rebuilding a relationship.
Because every time family issues come up, I just think about Kim Zolciak and Croy Bierman and mm-hmm. how neither of them talk to their families anymore.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's really crazy. I feel like, you know, all families have some stuff. Kind of issues. Yeah, yeah. Everyone has their baggage and things get complicated, you know, especially as parents get older and there's issues with, you know, taking care of them and money. There's always sort of something, but it's family is family and you have to kind of stick together and get through that. So I'm hoping that they, you know, it seems like they're making those steps.
I met a couple the other day. They just got married and I was like, you know, something came up about children and they said, we don't really want kids, but we're going to have at least one. And the wife was like, because, you know, I worry about someone taking care of me when I get older. And all that was running through my head was like, that doesn't work out for a lot of families.
Right. Yeah. Well, especially if that child ever kind of receives that in like a way, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like raising the kid, that's going to show through in their parenting.
Right. Well, it's even like when people were like, oh, we had the second kid to keep the first kid company. And it's just like that. Like, I get that's probably a very common thing. It just, it sounds weird.
It does. Also, speaking of Kelly, what are your thoughts on Dr. Brian renting the apartment right below her?
There's something about him.
Are you getting a little
Brooksy vibe?
I was going to say Dirty John. I understand that he's only there 2 days a week, but that is a little too close for comfort.
Yeah. And I felt like uncomfortable when Kelly's like, I told Shannon what we did about them having sex for 2 hours.
Mm.
We just had sex all morning.
You did?
Like
how long?
Like 2 hours.
I mean, Dr. Brian, he seems like a nice guy, but I don't want him for Kelly.
No.
What did you think about Dr. Deb and the whole situation with Bronwyn?
And the ring?
Well, not even the ring. Before we even get to the ring, which that was strange, but how she brought Bronwyn's aunt around the kids, and that was Bronwyn's, like, hard no rule.
It actually pissed me off towards Bronwyn to be a little bit more firm with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, like, when it comes to your kids and, like, someone that you don't want around them,
yeah,
you gotta mama bear it up a little.
Definitely. And we've talked about it on the podcast before, I think, about how sometimes as a son or daughter, you have to parent your parents and kind of teach them things that they might not see. And I think Dr. Deb, from what we've already heard about her life, you know, becoming a burner and this sort of hippie mentality she has where she's all about like love and community and taking care of one another. It's that's all well and good for sure, but you also have to respect other people's perspective and other people's rules. So if it's like, if Bronwyn's like, no, don't bring this woman around my kids, like no matter what Dr. Deb thinks about this woman, that's it. You can't break that rule.
I just recently found out like what exactly Burning Man entails. I just thought it was a music festival where people dressed funny.
Oh no.
There's like, okay, for anyone out there who doesn't know, it's like a whole bartering system.
Oh yeah.
Like no money is exchanged.
Mm-hmm.
The person I was talking to, they're like, well, my friend makes these bookmarks. What the hell am I going to do with all with a bookmark?
That's how there's no currency.
Yeah, but I feel like water should be the currency then. Like,
it is the desert. Yeah.
Why else would you need anything else?
People like go and create their own crafts. Like they'll create, I don't know, flower crowns maybe. That's a little too Coachella, I think, for Burning Man. But everyone who has a craft or a trade will go there and create something and share it with the community.
So mine would be like, I will tell you a story about a Bravo celebrity. I'll tell you one piece of gossip.
Yeah. Or if you're like good at giving like massages or something, you could be like, I'm not either. I have weak hands.
I'm more of a taker, you know?
Oh, okay. Of course. Yeah. I love getting a massage. I like the idea of it. I really do. I have a lot of friends who have gone or do go regularly, and they love the total disconnect from reality. And I respect and appreciate that. But when you get back to reality and back to regular life, you got to kind of check in again and rejoin the world. And I think Dr. Deb maybe hasn't fully done that yet.
I can see you're trying to pivot back to Bravo, but I'm not done talking about Bernie.
Oh, no. But that's you know, because I have a lot of friends who come back and they still have to reacclimate to society.
So you're also encouraged to be naked is what I've heard.
Oh.
And there's like no bathing, showering?
I do believe there is a like truck or like a trailer. There's somewhere you can go to bathe, but I think you don't have to.
But that costs you like 20 bucks.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's I mean, you get so dirty that it's almost like why bother showering on day 3 when by day 4 you're just going to be dirty again. Anyway, so Dr. Deb, come back to reality, respect your daughter's wishes, leave Burning Man at Burning Man. But also, I do appreciate her sense of style
right.
that she's brought back
Betsy
with her.
Betsy Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Emily and Shane.
Ugh.
Like, my God, Shane, she was trying to show you the sexy shoes she was going to be wearing for a dance that was intended for you.
Yeah.
And you can't say anything nice?
Look at my dancing shoes.
What?
They're my dancing shoes for Vegas.
Oh. They look like the shoes from the Wicked Witch of the West.
I think he just hates being on camera so much. But at this point, this is no longer new to you. You've been through a whole season of it. Just let her have this.
Not only are you not new to it, you know how much of a dick people thought you were last season.
Yeah.
Perk up.
Right. Just try a little bit. Put in a little bit of, like, half the effort, a quarter of the effort you're putting into studying for the bar.
And not even for the audience. It's for your wife. My mm-hmm. God, just so she's not disrespected on national TV.
Yeah. And also, not just for Emily, but for the kids. Because they're also there listening to everything. Kids hear everything. And they know exactly what he's saying to her. They recognize tone. They pick up on things in different ways. And we see it with Dallas, with the way Brooklyn is acting towards Brandy. Like, kids are very perceptive.
Yeah.
And so in the long run, it's affecting your relationship with Emily in the short term, but in the long run, it might also be affecting his relationship with his kids.
It broke my heart when she asked for a kiss and he wouldn't give it to her.
I know. Danny watches with me all the time, and he's always, whenever they are filming, he's always like, never let us be that way. And I'm like, I know, I don't ever, like, they are the anti-couple.
No, I would never let you two be that way.
Going back to Tamara really quickly, you guys might remember from her interview a few weeks back, I had asked her, who is the biggest pot stirrer this season? And it was your idea to ask her that question mm-hmm. because you had a theory that it was her.
Yeah.
She did not say that it was her. She said nobody was really the biggest pot stirrer. Everybody sort of just, you know, was playing the game, so to speak.
That's what a pot stirrer would say.
Exactly. I would like to argue that so far this season, Tamara is the biggest pot stirrer.
For sure.
Exhibit A. She mentioned the train thing.
Yeah.
When Vicky had not even gotten those words out of her mouth.
Right.
Exhibit B. At dinner with Deb, Tamara basically throws Vicky under the bus and reveals her nickname for Bronwyn.
Boring Win,
which previously it was Brown Wind. But, like, who is safe from Tamara at this point? Maybe Shannon. You're not getting Vicky any points with these women if that's your goal. If that's everyone's goal, is to go on this retreat and bond. You're not setting it up to be that way.
Right.
Shady, shady Tamara.
But I love it.
But we need it.
I love it.
I just wish she would own it.
Own it, Lisa. Own it.
Own it, Tamara. Own it.
Having a lot of closet space in New York is rare. Instead of fretting over where you'll store your new fall sweater, check out the newest online rental subscription service.
Haverdash offers an endless rotation of clothes that adds a dash of trend, color, and pattern to all the great looks you already have.
Now you can finally experiment with new trends without the commitment
Signing up and receiving your first order is super easy, too.
All you have to do is fill your virtual haberdash closet with everything you'd like to wear, and you'll receive 3 items from your list shipped at a time.
Feel free to wear those items once, twice, or as many times as you'd like. And once you're done, send back all 3 items to get your next shipment.
And you can swap out your items for new ones as often as you'd like per month.
If you happen to fall in love with a piece, which we don't blame you if you do, members can purchase the item for a discounted price.
The best part? You can have an endless closet for just $59 a month.
That is an affordable way to amp up your style.
So get catwalk-worthy looks for a fraction of the cost by heading over to haberdash.com and sign up today. There are no commitments and you can cancel anytime.
That's haberdash.com to sign up and start your virtual closet.
Real Housewives of Dallas. We need to do that 90-20 workout.
I was thinking about that because I don't like exercise.
Right, who does?
And anything I can do to amp up what I get done in a short amount of time would be great for me.
I just wonder how well it works. I mean, they're both so thin, Stephanie and Cameron. It's hard to tell. Like, maybe they have an 8-pack under their blouses. I don't know.
They might.
But... yeah, I'm curious how well
they've shocked their muscles into thinking they have an 8-pack. It's just like tensed up. It's not even actually there. But I would definitely try that out. I mean, really, anything I can do to minimize my activity is good for me.
So, you know, I talked to Carrie. And so I asked her in the interview that you guys will hear later, I was asking about her marriage because I had already seen episode 2.
Okay.
And I feel like her dinner with her husband is one of those instances where you're saying things half joking. They don't necessarily come off as half jokes. They come off as, is there trouble afoot in the relationship?
You're not always the easiest.
Of course, it's always my fault.
Baby, you're living a different universe.
Well, and you had said last week you were a little worried about them, right? Being a first season couple that doesn't go very well for a lot of the housewives.
Yes. And she told me that she didn't watch any other housewives. She had watched some Dallas before she joined. She hasn't seen the mistakes that other people have made.
True.
I don't know. There was just something awkward to me about that exchange.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting, their dynamic, because they mentioned in the first episode, too, that this is their second marriage.
For both, yeah.
Yeah, for both of them. And is this the best place to start airing out any of the issues you have in your relationship? Because it could be setting it up for disaster.
Yeah.
Either way, I need to see that house.
My God. Right. I mean, that Mexican villa.
It's big enough you can live separately in it.
Totally.
I want to talk about Leanne and Deandra's lunch.
Oh, okay.
Uncomfortable. Because totally uncomfortable. In episode 1, we see them kind of come to terms with each other, apologize again, work through it, sort of. Then shortly thereafter, Leanne decides, you know what? I'm still mad about it. So they go to lunch. They seem to make a little bit of progress yet again. And then Leanne gets a little messy towards the end, where she basically throws a bunch of shade about Deandra's financial situation and Mama D's control over her.
My mother has no financial hold over me, so I don't have any need to talk to her.
Right.
So if you're really looking to make progress, and 5 minutes prior you had been like, let's continue working through this, I'm still a little reserved, but I want to get better, and then you just hit Deandra where you know it hurts, because it's number 1, finances, and number 2, her mom.
Right.
So are you really ready to move forward, Leanne?
I know. You know what was also uncomfortable? Was watching people do a bad job at roasting.
Frankly, everyone who wasn't Stephanie.
You know, I was so excited when you joined our friend group. I thought you were going to bring a lot of class, sophistication, and money. And boy, was I wrong. There you go. Something we both have in common is that we stay at home all day, get our nails done, and take care of the house, while our spouses are working hard to make sure that they support our lifestyle. I'm not talking to you, Deandra. I'm talking to you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like like I didn't even understand Brandy's. I was confused. Like, I don't know if just because the portion we saw, but Stephanie's was amazing.
Right. If anyone has seen one of the Comedy Central roasts, there is like, it's a joke and there's a punchline and, you know, like that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Nobody was doing that. People were like praising Deandra, being like, I've known her for 10 years. And it's like, no, no, no. That's not what a roast is.
Right.
Yeah. Brandy's didn't really make sense. Leanne.
Was.
She could have done something completely insane, which I was half expecting her to do. But she also just didn't even really go there. And I feel like she could have.
She just told like a half joke.
Right. It was incomplete.
Yes.
But honestly, I thought Stephanie was hilarious. And she nailed every punchline exactly how a roast is supposed to be.
My backup thorn I'll just talk about now, which is the gift that Deandra's husband gave to her for her 50th.
My wife loves donuts. There's 50 things in this box.
Oh, God, help me. They're all donuts.
I know times are tough for this couple, but donuts?
Right.
And the explanation, like, it was just weird to be like, well, there's nothing my wife likes more than food. Ooh, Jeremy. Like, that's.
Listen, I do appreciate Jeremy's explanation and how he was sort of, but it could have been with much different objects. But to your point, they're a little financially hard up right now.
Yeah, so just don't give a gift publicly.
Right, yeah. That should have been in private.
Right. So we see Leanne and Brandy go for drinks.
Yeah.
And they talk about how they reunited at a friend's baby shower.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that friend was Andy Cohen?
I wonder.
And it was just Andy Cohen's baby shower that they were at and had a really fun time?
Because they were.
Because let's be honest, who has fun at a baby shower?
Right. Oh, very true.
So it must have been Andy's.
And they both were there, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. Andy bringing people back together. Well, next week we're going to see them go to Carrie's house in Mexico. And nothing starts off a season of Housewives like a good mini trip.
So I sat down with the newest Real Housewives of Dallas wife, Carrie Brittingham. She talked about what it was like to be asked to be part of the show, what her husband thinks about being on it, and reveals why she is butting heads with Leanne Loggan. Plus, she gives an update on if the two are talking now. You don't want to miss this. Here's that interview. Carrie, brand new housewife, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Bravo family.
Thank you.
How does it feel?
You know, I mean, I've had a really fun time, and I'm really happy to be doing this.
Yeah, it must be a totally different experience now because you're sort of starting the press around the show, whereas before you've been in it, like filming the show.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's definitely different stages of all of it, and I'm like, you know, I think it's like once I go a whole year, you really don't know what, you know, it's going to all be like. But, I mean, I think every stage is so unique. And a different experience, and is, you know, I'm so lucky to be able to be doing all of it.
Have you watched the episode yet, the premiere episode?
Yes.
And what was that experience like?
You know, I think I was kind of like waiting, and I think it was a very nice just intro because I don't feel like, you know, I was like a little bit with Deandra and then with my family at home, packing, of course, you know, with my daughter. And it was a very nice little, you know, intro to the whole show. I enjoyed it.
Was it weird watching yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I was like the whole time, I'm like, you know, you're filming and you're like, and then when you see yourself and it was really funny because I was like, oh my God, I have an accent. Like, I don't hear it, you know, so much when I'm talking to people. And when I sat on TV, I was like, wow, I really have a big accent. Yeah. So it was really funny to see yourself.
How long have you lived in Dallas?
Well, I've been in Dallas for a long time. I mean, I went to college there, to SMU.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been there for, oh gosh, I moved to Dallas when I was 19 and I'm 49.
Yeah.
Do the math, like 40 years? No, 20, 30? Oh, gosh. 30 years?
Yeah. So I'm from Rowlett. So the Dallas franchise holds a special place in my heart.
Oh,
so,
of course.
Yeah. All our family is there. Okay. How did you get approached to do the show?
Well, you know, Carrie Duber, I've known her for like 10 years or so. So since she was starting the show, she was like, oh, Carrie, you should try it and you would be great. I'm like, oh, gosh, no, no, no. I'm like, no way. And, you know, every year she would ask me again to try to do it. And finally, you know, this last year, I was like, you know, my kids were getting older, and, you know, I wanted to, I've had this little jewelry line that I've been, you know, doing as a hobby, and I'm thinking, well, maybe this is a nice way for me to, you know, do something bigger with that. So I decided to, you know, try out for it, but I had no idea I was going to end up doing it. I was like, oh, I'll put my name down, I'll try it out, you know.
Was your husband at all nervous for you guys to sign up for this?
You know, yeah, he was definitely, like, very nervous because he was like, you know, Carrie has no filter. She says whatever, who knows what she's going to say. And he was always his concern. It's like, well, baby, you know, I mean, be careful. And like, well, you know, you can't tell me that. I can't control my, you know, my whatever I say is what I say. So that's definitely, he's definitely nervous about that for sure.
Did you ever watch Real Housewives of Dallas or any other Real Housewives?
You know, I watched the Dallas one here and there because of Carrie, you mm-hmm. know, and I was devoted, and I did watch like the last, you know, season one, and then because when she started it, and then season two I didn't watch it that much, and then season three, you know, I kind of like started watching it again. So I, and then when I was trying out for it, I wanted to like I go back and watch them, and it was too stressful. So I was like, I'm going to wait until after I start filming, and then I'll watch it. And I really didn't watch the other yeah. franchises, but I've been now, you know, of course, recording all of them and trying to keep up with a few of those.
Yeah.
Because I'm meeting the girls, so, you know, I want to see them.
Well, I mean, the parts that you have watched of Dallas, I wonder, you must notice that relationships between husband and wife come under sort of the microscope on this show. Did that at all freak you out?
I mean, no. I mean, really, when I decided that I was going to do the show, I was like, you know, I'm just going to go out there, put my life out there. I know it's going to be, you know, who knows, you know, how the whole thing is going to play out with my husband or with my kids. You know, I have teenagers. So they also say whatever they think, especially one of them. So I was like really nervous filming with her. I'm like, oh gosh, what is she going to say? Because you can't control it. But, you know, I had to go in with like a completely open mind and be like, you know, I'm just putting myself out there. It's going to be an experience. And, you know, some people are going to love me. Some people are going to hate me. Some people are going to judge. Some people are going to, I may help some people through it. But, you know, if I do this, I was just going to go out, you know, all in.
It's funny that you mentioned outspoken daughter, because in this premiere episode, we see Brandy sort of going through that with her daughter. Mm-hmm. What parenting advice would you give Brandy?
You know, I mean, to really just, you know, be firm, you know, make sure they don't try to, you know, be firm with them. But also, your kids are going to have a personality. You're not going to change them. You need to embrace it. And try to guide them the best way to really see where, you know, where they need to be. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's definitely hard. I mean, I have my 19-year-old right now that she's about to go to college. And, you know, I kind of start seeing that she was very, like, outgoing and everything else. And I guided her a little bit, like, hey, you're so, you know, creative and everything else. So now she's going to design school in L.A. And I think that, you know, if I hadn't kind of, like, make sure she would, you know, I mean, maybe dig deep into what she really wanted to do. She would have gone to just regular college and then business school and then maybe be a little lost. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to really look at every kid and their personalities and try to guide them and make sure they kind of take a look of what they would be happy doing.
Right. So was Brandy and was anyone else on of the group especially welcoming to you as the new girl?
Oh, absolutely, yes. My first dinner, you know, DeAndre took me, it was with Stephanie and Brandy, and it was an amazing dinner because right away, like, I became very close to both of them. They were so sweet. We connected, you know. It was a very, very easy, like, honestly, I was very, very lucky transition, and they were both amazing. And then on the trip to Carellas, you know, I was really a little bit like, oh, I wasn't sure if I was really going to get along with Cameron because she seemed so more uptight and like the Holland Park, you know, typical girl. And I'm definitely not. I'm more like, you know, have fun and I don't really care what people think. So I was thinking that I may not get along with her very well. And we went to Correia's and she was such a surprise. I mean, she had fun with me. We were drinking. She was like, you know, doing everything. So we had a really fun time.
Well, I know from the super tease of the whole season, we see that you and Leanne sort of butt heads. Was it like that from the jump when you met her?
You know, I came in completely. I was just going to come in and give everybody, with an open mind. I was just not going to have any, you know, like whatever I got back, I was going to give in, you know, give to them. So, you know, with Leanne, it was really tough since the beginning. I mean, I always felt a little bit animosity with her, you know, towards me. And then, so it was just kind of like always kind of like little things that she kept kind of poking at me. And finally, I was like, okay, she definitely doesn't, you know, like me. And, you know, but she tries to like me. So it was just kind of like, you know, yeah. And I mean, and I call people out how I feel, and I don't think she likes that, so.
Well, so what is your relationship like today?
Oh, we don't talk.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
Nope.
No.
Is there anyone else in the group you don't talk to?
No, everybody else I get along with great. I mean, so I'm friends with everybody else.
Yeah. What has been the best part of this experience so far?
You know, the best part is all the new friendships I've gained. And honestly, just getting to know, you know, so many, not only in the show, but like producers and, you know, I love, the experience is amazing. It's once in a lifetime. And I think, you know, we live once and I'm just here experiencing a really amazing part.
What's been the worst part?
The worst part? I don't know. I don't really have anything negative about it so far. I have to see myself, right? Let me talk to you next year. After.
I was going to say, let's check in mid-season.
Exactly.
And, you know, maybe stay away from social media, like the comments a little bit. No, you'll do good.
Yeah, but that doesn't even bother me, you know? I mean, people are going to criticize me. I already know that.
Right.
I mean, and people are going to love me, you know? So that's life, though.
For sure.
Anyway, so.
Well, thank you so much for coming. And
thanks for having me.
I can't wait to watch you the rest of the season.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
My rose was definitely from Below Deck Med.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the whole Sandy really having a heart-to-heart with Travis about his drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And revealing that she is a recovering alcoholic.
I know.
And just like, not coming at him from a place of judgment, but just like, I get it.
Yeah.
It's addiction.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sometimes I wish I could just have a glass of wine, but it's like, I can't stop with one. I would have the whole bottle. And then another one, and another one. It got me nowhere. Or sometimes incarcerated.
I just thought that was great. I love that.
She handled herself really well and was just like, I had a conversation with someone very similar. It changed my life, so here I am just letting you know my journey. My rose was from Married to Medicine, which is back, and it was Dr. Simone and Cecile talking to their son, Miles, about his gap year at Howard.
Miles attended Howard. Cecil and I were very excited. However, he didn't get the job done while he was there. He came home. Cecil got him registered at Georgia State. And I must say, he is doing much better.
And I just loved how they made such light of the situation because so many parents can be so critical of their kids. And if they, quote unquote, fail at something, they hold it against them. But they really allowed him to fail and then helped him get into a community college and then were like, this is probably going to be better for you, and he's doing better for that. So I just love to see that kind of parenting.
Oh, and I did want to call out on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
David_is_the_best. Hey, Meg Segura and Eric J. Mack, I recommend watching Married to Med. The show is on their 7th season and must be talked about on Bravo Daily Dish. If you think Real Housewives of Atlanta is shady, you truly haven't seen Organic Shade. Well, David, of course we watch.
And of course they are shadier probably than Atlanta.
But thank you for reaching out. And anytime you guys, there's a particular show you want us to be talking about, that's always good to know. So reach out on Twitter or Instagram.
David, you are the best. What was your thorn?
Okay, so Real Housewives of Potomac, when we get the update on Monique and we're at home with her and the kids, she does this thing that I've seen mothers of newborns do, and it grosses me out every time. She picked up the pacifier that had fallen. She sucked off the germs with her mouth and then put it in the baby's mouth.
No.
I don't know why, but that just disgusts me.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because oftentimes when parents are on their third kid, they are no longer concerned with like germs and all of that stuff. They're like, they'll be fine. Like with the first kid, parents are so like, oh my God, we have to be protective, like no germs, like their immune system, blah, blah, blah. But usually by the third kid, they kind of let up a little bit.
Right.
But I guess at that age, the baby was what, only maybe a month old at that point, you know, they need to have some space from germs, but I agree. It's gross.
And licking it isn't sanitizing it, is it?
Right. What about the bacteria in your mouth?
Ugh.
My thorn comes from Below Deck Med, and it was the shirt that the charter guest Patrick was wearing upon arrival.
Oh, God, yes.
And it just said alcohol, comma, now. And there is nothing I dislike more than those kind of generic graphic tees.
Like any sort, like anything you would find in Times Square in a t-shirt shop.
Yeah, or even the ones that I see now where it's just sort of like, wine, please, or you know, like, but first coffee. Like, I'm just like, oh my God.
Well, let me tell you, I kind of loved this, but on Saturday, I saw this toddler in a stroller wearing a shirt that says, do not kidnap.
Oh my God. See, that's good because it's like dark humor.
Which I love.
Yeah.
But it's also like, calm down, baby. You're not that hot. Like, I wasn't even thinking about kidnapping you.
I almost bought my goddaughter a onesie that said, I still live with my parents. Because I thought that was really funny.
That's funny.
But then I think they didn't have her size or whatever. But like with kids, it's kind of funny because you know the parents are selecting that and trying to be cheeky. But when you're actually the one wearing a shirt that's just so obnoxious.
What about like toddlers wearing like Nirvana t-shirts?
I'm okay with that.
But it's like, you're not listening. Like by choice, you're not listening to Nirvana.
Right. Well, actually it's funny too, because you know the Misfits shirts that we see everywhere? When I lived in LA, my friend Shannon and I used to play a game when we would hike Runyon Canyon, and we would count, we would make guesses as to how many Misfits shirts we would see and how many celebrities we would spot. We'd be like, we're gonna see two Misfits shirts and one celebrity. Or it would be just anyone we recognize, because sometimes you run into people you know. We usually got our numbers very, very wrong. But now anytime I see a Misfits shirt, I take a picture and I send it to her.
Wait, who was the biggest celebrity you saw in Runyon Canyon?
I used to see Kathy Griffin, actually, kind of often. I saw Sam Ronson there once.
Nice.
I feel like I saw someone else, and I recognized their dog first, which was funny. But I can't remember who it was.
Great story.
Next week, we have Cameron Westcott from Real Housewives of Dallas and Chef Ben Robinson from Below Deck Med.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys.